Praise God. So on Wednesdays for a while, we've been talking about doubt. And we entitled it, Doubt, the Thief of God's Greater Blessings. And we've, covered different areas of this. To start, let's just look at your sheet there for the sake of time. Mark 11, 22 says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." So this is Jesus speaking after after he was with the disciples and the fig tree withered. He spoke to the fig tree and said, "No man will eat fruit of you again." And when the disciples passed back by, they said, "Well, the tree that you cursed is withered away." And so then Jesus answered. This is verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," so this is Jesus speaking, this isn't some man, even though maybe you've heard it quoted by preachers, certain preachers, they didn't write it, this is in the Bible, "whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt," where? "In his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." But believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I mean, that's amazing. A lot of people don't believe that. You can really have what you say. Well, maybe, no. A lot of people don't believe that. But Jesus is saying that. He's saying, but he didn't just say whatever you say. He said, if you believe and you don't doubt in your heart, you believe in your heart what you say, and you don't doubt in your heart, then you will have what you say. Thank God, it's not everything we've said. You know, some people have said stuff, and thank God it didn't come to pass. You know, me included. But, you know, sometimes you're just spouting off and you don't believe it. It's, you know, we don't need to be word police, go around correcting other people. But it's what you don't need to be legalistic about it, because it's what you believe. But if you believe something, and you're down and you're believing, like, I don't ever make right decisions. I can't hear God or whatever. Or my children, I don't know about them. Well, you keep saying it, you can start to believe it. And if it's coming out of your heart, even if you're tempted to say it, and that's the way you feel, we shouldn't say it, because we put things into motion. There's something about when you say something and you hear yourself say it. And there are spiritual laws in place. But it says, does not doubt in his heart. So if you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and do not doubt. He does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. It says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Romans 10:8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So this is telling us how to get saved here. And it says, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe where? In your heart. Believe with your head? No. Believe with your hand? No. Believe in your heart. What's your heart? Your spirit, the real you. Some people are trying to believe things with their head. They're trying to, well, I understand that. But they're not grasping it with their spirit. And you're not believing truly with your heart, and that's what makes all the difference. It says, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved, for with the heart one believes. See, it's with the heart one believes, not with your head. So this is good news, because that doesn't mean it has to make sense. Everything has to make sense to your head. And even if doubts come to your head, that doesn't mean you're not in faith. You don't have to act on what is coming through your head. You don't have to understand everything. You can still have faith in your heart. It says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you don't go by what you see. You don't go by what you feel. Heart is not of your feelings, is not of your body. So just because your body feels a certain way does not mean that you're doubting. Just because you're tempted to say, oh, I just feel so bad, and I just want to give up, and I want to give in to a sickness or whatever, you don't, unless you give in and stop believing with your heart and let it affect your believing, you can still act in faith. Just because you have thoughts in your head, just because you have doubts and you don't see how something is going to work out, or there's doubts coming to your head saying, you know, you're not healed. This is not working. What's going on? Why isn't this working? See, those can be going through your head. But that's not the same as it affecting your heart. How do you know? You just have to stay steadfast and say, yeah, I might see some things. Yes, I might feel some things, but I'm not going to let it affect what I believe. I'm going to stay and say, nevertheless, the Word says, and quote, whatever applies to your situation, you stay right there, not moved. Not talking about just exercising, going, well, I'm just going to say this just because, you know, I heard I was supposed to say it. No, you don't let it in. It might go through your head. You might be feeling certain things in your body, but you don't have to let it affect your belief. Do you know the devil will paint you all kinds of pictures about how bad things can be? Amen? Somebody said once, he's a visionary. He will paint you all kinds of pictures about his will for your life and how bad it's going to be if you do certain things, or if you don't do certain things, or if you're going to believe God. But we can't let that move us, because he's a liar. So if he's showing you something, if you're having thoughts that would be contrary to the Word, and anything that's contrary to the Word is not coming from God. And if they're thoughts of defeat or sickness or failure, they're not from God. So if you're having those thoughts, you know where they came from. And if you know where they came from, you know that the enemy is a known liar. So if he's a known liar and he's saying this is what's going to happen, then you can say, well, I know that's not true anyway. I'm just going to stick with what God said. But he can make it. If you look at it and look at the circumstance, or look at, if you start paying attention to those pictures, they can move you. And when you get moved off the Word, that's called doubt. But you're being moved by things that are out here, not what's in here. You believe with the heart. What is that? You're going to take God at His Word and stay steadfast on His Word regardless of what's going on. And doubt will rob you. Even though you're on the right track, you can have outward pressure to give up believing God. Thoughts like, well, what's the use? It's not changing. It doesn't look like it's going to change. It's just going to get worse. You're not going to make this, or this is the way your kids are going to turn out. And if we yield to that, it can feel so real that you think it's inevitable. You feel like it's inevitable. It doesn't matter if it feels inevitable. That's exactly the point when we have to push back and say, I don't care. This is what the Word says, and speak it out anyway. And I didn't say that was easy, because it can feel so real. It can seem like it's inevitable. Your mind will tell you it's a foregone conclusion. This isn't going to happen. You're going to get sick. You're going to fail here. It's just going to happen. But it's not inevitable. If it contradicts the Word, it's a lie. So we can't go by that. We have to combat it with what the Word of God says, even when our head is telling us something else. Let's turn over to Romans 4 in our Bibles. We were in the middle of this last time. Romans 4:16. Romans 4:16, talking about Abraham. It's on your sheet too. Therefore it is of faith, Romans 4:16, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him who he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. We stayed on that for a little bit last time. It says, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. This is what God does. So if something doesn't exist, but you're calling it as though it does exist based on God's word, God himself does that. The word just said that. That's the way he operates. He says, this is the way it's going to be before it is that way. It doesn't exist. So sometimes people get confused with faith and say, you're lying. No, not if God told me it's going to happen, then it's going to happen if I stay with him. You know, we see this in the natural all the time. If you trust somebody and you believe somebody, let's say it's on your job or whatever, you've known them for years, and can anybody think of somebody that you know like that, that you would trust? Maybe you've known them for several years, and if they tell you something, you believe it. So get a mental picture of that in your mind. Maybe you've worked with them, and so when they tell you something on the job, that's it. That you believe it. They're going to do everything within their power for that to happen. So if they told you this is happening, this is coming, they're going to deliver something, and you were to tell somebody else, yeah, that's going to happen. That we're, you know, it's as good as done. Joe told me. Well, it may not be done yet. If you're expecting something to happen at a certain date because somebody told you. I mean, we do this all the time when we order something online or whatever, due date is going to happen at this time. You plan around it, and you're surprised if you've had experience with a certain vendor or something that if it doesn't happen, because they said it was going to happen. And so you're planning as though it's going to happen. You're telling people what's going to show up. We're planning around it. We expect to have it. We'll go on. Somebody told you that, like we were talking about, somebody you trust. They said it's going to happen. You plan on it. You tell people, well, we're going to have it by such and such. But it's not here. It doesn't exist in that sense. You say, of course, we all understand that. It's not any different. Natural things are a lot like spiritual things. It's really not any different. We'll say, well, you don't understand. It doesn't actually exist yet. Yeah, but it's on its way. See, it's coming. If God said it and it's in the spiritual realm, how do you receive it into this realm? How does it manifest? By faith. So it's coming. It's on its way. It's the same thing. But I ordered something. It's in a warehouse. It's coming. Yeah, but you don't see it. Why do you know that? Have you been to the warehouse? Do you know the person that's going to pull it off the shelf? Do you know where the truck is going to go? No, it's all faith. Isn't it? You're believing that this organization knows what they're talking about when they tell you it's going to happen at a certain date, that they got the logistics figured out. But if God's promised something, sometimes we're like, well, I don't know, I can't see it. Again, there's some things you don't need to see to know it's there. I've never seen my brain. I don't want to see my brain. I believe I have a brain. And it's operating fine. I don't need to see it. I'm good. Right? Yes. Well, I've never seen God. Well, look around. You have to shut your eyes not to know that there's a God. There is a God. Well, we operate in natural faith all the time. Well, I believe this will happen. We don't say it like that. We're just like, well, this is going to show up. You don't even second guess it. We're just going to show up at this time. Right? Somebody such and such is going to pick me up. Somebody told you they're going to pick you up at 6:30. Well, they're going to pick me up. What are you doing? How do you show your faith? You're waiting by the door. You're waiting on the curb. Oh, there they come. They'll be here in a couple minutes. Call those things as be not, as though they were. Well, it's going to show up. It's the same thing. It's the same thing with God. If he told us something, and we act on it, and we believe it, like we read in Mark 11, where it said, if you say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe those things which you say shall, future shall come to pass. You shall have whatever you say. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall or will have them. Future. But I don't see it yet. But do you believe that you ordered and you said and you did what the word said, and is it coming or not? Well, I don't see it. Well, it's the same thing as you ordered something on Tuesday and have 2-day delivery, and you're like, on Wednesday, I don't see it yet, but it's on its way. Yeah, but that's natural. I understand that. Well, it's the same thing. We got to get to where we believe spiritual things as much as we do natural, and then things start working. See, if we were saying it's not working, what are we looking? What's determining that it's not working? What we're seeing, what we're thinking about, what we're feeling. That's exactly what robs us from what God wants us to have. We start looking at external things. God's word didn't change. It has not changed. If you go look at your Bible today, it's the same as it read 2 months ago. Yeah. And before you were born. Yeah. It didn't change. What changed? Well, I don't see it. I don't feel like it. It doesn't show up. It hasn't happened yet. What? So? It's on the way. It's on the truck. Yeah, but it's not the same thing. It is the same thing. But I know this. I have experience. Well, if you have experience with God, you'll get to see, well, it showed up. I didn't see it. And this is where, you know, if you start seeing God work, first of all, you have to take Him at His word and believe God. He's never let anyone down yet. When you start seeing Him come through and start seeing, well, I felt like this. I didn't see it, but there it was. You know, you'll start to build even trust just experientially with God. I mean, be honest, if you have not ordered from a certain website before or a certain dealer, the first time you do it, what are you looking at? The reviews, you know, what's their rating, you know, out of how many positive reviews they have, how's this seller? But you're not sure. You're kind of like, we'll see. We'll give it a go. Click. Right? But after, if you've done it a few times in the same one, you're like, same way. It'll happen again, right? Well, after you've seen, you might be hesitant to take God at His word on certain things, but if we'll push through and we'll say, I believe, He has no reason. We have way more reason to believe God than we do any vendor you might name. Because they could, and all kinds of things could happen that they may not be able to deliver. But God, He's never failed. What's the thing that's going to fail? What would it cause Him not to be able to deliver? It's not His end. It's us saying, nah, forget it. I don't believe it. And that's just like canceling the order and then wondering why it didn't show up. That's called doubt. Doubt will rob us. God wanted us to have something. He promised. We put in the order. We said, here it comes. And then we said, wait a minute, I don't believe it. Well, that's the same thing as it just go, well, I canceled it. Never mind. I don't want it. It is. So what did we let cheat us? What we saw. What we felt. It looked like this. The devil's a master illusionist. He will push you, prompt you, push your buttons, try to make things look a certain way. He doesn't have all power, but he'll press on your emotions, press on you bodily, can make you feel or think certain things or put thoughts in your head when you see other people act. Well, that person doesn't like me. It's obvious. Well, a lot of times it's not obvious. It's just you're listening to the wrong thing. It says, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things that which do not exist as though they did. 18, who contrary to hope or expectation in hope believed. So contrary to what would be expected, he expected anyway. So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. So God said to Abram, you're going to be a father of many nations. It surely didn't look like it. Abram didn't have any reason to believe that. He was old. His wife's old. She didn't bear children when she was young. And God tells him, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Well, he doesn't have anything in the natural to convince him that this is true. What is he going on? The word of God. Literally, God told him, so shall your descendants be. Verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he wasn't weak in faith. He didn't consider the natural circumstances that were right in front of him. Didn't say he ignored them. He just said, yeah, I'm not going to consider that as much as I'm going to consider God's word. So I see this. I acknowledge it. I'm not sticking my head in the sand saying this thing doesn't exist. On the other hand, God said I'm going to be the father of many nations. And this is exactly what goes on. What am I going to believe? God said this. I look at my wife. I get up and look in the mirror. And this is what I see. Which one's going to win? If this one starts getting to eye, that's when you start doubting God's word. What are you doubting? You're doubting God. I'm doubting God if I let that happen. But if I say, you know what, God's never failed. He is the all-powerful one. He could create a child from nothing. If he said he's able to do it, he's able to do it. My body may look like that. Sarah's body may look like that. We may be old, but God is well able to do it. And then your faith is stronger. You stamp doubt out. That's what Abraham did right here. It says, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief or doubt. You're not believing. He wasn't yielding to unbelief or doubt, which is weighing the circumstances higher, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So Abraham was fully convinced that if God said it, he meant it, he's able to fulfill that promise, so I'm going to believe this regardless of what I see. And that's the same for you and me. Are we fully convinced? Are we fully convinced that what God said in His Word, what He spoke to us, that He's able to perform? God is not limited by our circumstance. You see this over and over in the Word. I mean, this is impossible. When we're talking about Abraham. When you talk about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, looks like they're doomed. But that's not impossible with God. God had a way. Jesus was born of a virgin. That's impossible. But it's not impossible for God. It's not impossible to the one who believes. Mary said, "Be it unto me according to your word." When the angel came and told her, she said, "All right." So she allowed that to happen. You see miracle after miracle in the Word. It's just full of God moving in impossible situations that look like it could not happen. Because this is what God does. God calls those things that be not as though they were. This is what He does. And our situations are not too big for Him. It's just if we let the circumstance and what we see have a higher place in our understanding and in our consciousness than what God said. To be fully convinced that what He said, He was also able to perform. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. Now, let's see. Thank God. You guys are believing with me, we'll get the right thing. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, let's go over to Matthew. Let's look at it on your sheet. We've turned there before. But let's go there, and I think we'll get to Mark. Praise you, Lord. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. So, Matthew 14:22, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Verse 29, so he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So the disciples are out on the sea, and they're tossed to and fro, and they see Jesus walking across. Now, we may think, well, what were they so scared of? It was Jesus. I mean, imagine if you're out in a boat, not a commercial modern boat, but, you know, a wooden boat getting tossed around, and you see a person, an image of somebody walking on the water toward you at night. People don't normally do that. I mean, what would you think? These guys, I mean, they're hardened fishermen, and they're like, whoa. So we shouldn't be too hard on them. I don't know. You know, you'd be like, whoa, what is that? They're coming this way. So Jesus spoke to them, saying, they're like, it's a ghost, and they're crying out, and they're scared. Jesus spoke to him and said, "Be of good cheer," so calm down, cheer up, "it's I, do not be afraid." So Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." So Jesus is walking on the water. And Peter says, "Command me to come on the water." Verse 29, you guys believe this happened just like it said? Because a lot of people that think this is a story, an allegory or something. This is impossible. This couldn't have happened. It defies the laws of physics. Well, the natural laws of physics, but God supersedes natural laws. I mean, water doesn't stand up on its side by itself like the Red Sea parted either. You know, the axe head in the one account, axe heads don't generally float on water. But the axe head floated right back up to the surface. People, when they're dead, generally, you know, days don't come out of the tomb alive like Lazarus. Well, that's impossible. He already decaying. But yet, he's come back. I mean, all these things defy what we know, but we don't know everything. I mean, this world was made from spiritual things. The Bible says that the world that's seen was made from that which is not seen. There's a spiritual reality that's beyond this world. So it's no big deal that God, I mean, what are the angels? Angels all the time influence this world. Something happened, you know, just nudge somebody out of the way, buoy somebody up, you know, pull them up. If you believe the Lord and believe the supernatural, this is not hard to understand. The Spirit of God is holding him up. It may be physically impossible, but that's not all there is to it. So Jesus, he was walking on the water. Peter says, "Tell me to come to you." Jesus says, "Come." So Peter had, when he had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So he's walking on the water. Peter's walking on the water. Say, Peter walked on the water. He literally walked on the water. So he was doing it. He is walking, probably going, wow. What would you do, really? How is that happening? Well, I'm just going to keep going. But then he starts to look around and starts seeing everything, the waves and all that stuff, and go, whoa, I shouldn't be doing this. Which we know has no bearing on his ability to walk on the water at all. The size of the waves have nothing whatsoever with him walking on. They have nothing to do with him walking on the water. He can't do it at any time. Yet, what is he? Jesus himself said, come to me. And he started out in faith going toward Jesus, and he's doing it. It's working. He's going. But then he starts looking around. He starts seeing the wind, and he starts seeing the waves. And so he starts to get afraid. And we know he was doubting because Jesus just said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you start looking at something else? Why did you doubt that what I said, I have the ability to fulfill? If I told you to come, you realize if God tells you to do something, everything you need for that to happen is included in his statement telling you what to do. If he says come, that's all you need to hear. You can make it. Right? If he says come here, he fully intends for you to come there. If he tells you to do something in your life, if he said something in his word, all the power that we need to accomplish it is there. Because he doesn't make a mistake. If he told you to do something, and we know he calls those things that be not as though they are, then if he said do it, or come, or go there, or take that job, or you know, move to this location and do something, or you know, believe on this because I've healed you, then his ability is wrapped up in those words and allows us to do whatever it is. And so it's the same thing with Peter. He said, come to Peter. Peter started out fine, but he started looking at everything else and he dropped. And that's called doubt. There was no reason Peter had to do that. It was just he started looking. I mean, think about it. Jesus is, I don't know how far he was, but Jesus is somewhere in front of him. Jesus. It's Jesus. I mean, it's the Son of the living God is right there and saying, come to me. He created the world. I mean, I don't know how big the waves were, but it doesn't really matter. If you understand, it's Jesus, who is the Lord of all. Now, Peter didn't understand it the way we do, to be fair, right? He saw Jesus in the flesh. He doesn't understand that. I don't think he understands fully like we understand, or we have the potential to understand through the Word, that he is the Lord of Lords. He is God Almighty, manifest in the flesh, and that from hindsight, looking back 2,000 years, well, of course you should believe. So to be fair, but it's Jesus telling him to do something. It shouldn't matter anything else. It should be like Peter was in a zone. All this stuff should go away. And Jesus said, come, so I'm coming. I mean, the waves could be 100-foot high and splashing all around. And it really, if you know that's Jesus, Jesus has authority over all that. He told me to come. There's nothing that can stop me from coming. Nothing. Nothing. Say nothing. Nothing. I mean, Jesus is there. He's right there. Like I said, I don't know how far away he was, but he might have been, I mean, he reached out and grabbed Peter. So maybe it's not that far. But he's right there. These other things don't have anything to do with me acting on what God, in this case, Jesus, in the flesh, told Peter to do, or in our case, what God told us to do. Nothing else. If God said it, this is the same attitude we have to get. If God said it, if he told me this is the way it is, then it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, what things are getting, you know, blown up and moved around or making me feel. It doesn't matter, because I am going to receive what God told me I could have. Period. Amen. That if Jesus is there, and he is, the Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He lives in us. We're in a new covenant. And if he said, we're going over there, then we should have the attitude, I'm going, I don't care what it looks like. But what happens is we'll start going and circumstances will start putting pressure on us and they're trying to get us to say, I guess I can't do it. Oh, it's not going to work. Or I guess I am. I thought, man, this time I was setting out to believe God and believe that I wouldn't get sick. But here I am. And you have a symptom. Or it looks a certain way. And the devil, again, he'll paint all kinds of a picture of you bedfast in 2 days. You know what we have to do when that comes? You have to shut it down and realize that's not an inevitability. That's not something that has to happen. It's a thought and a picture given to you to try to make you think that is inevitable and to get you off what God said. It is wind and waves. I mean, if we'll stand up to it, you'll start to see how much the devil lies. We'll get real practical. Like let's say you have an important day the next day. And you're going to sleep. You're trying to go to sleep, you're trying to calm down, and you can start thinking, if I don't get to sleep, I'm going to be tired tomorrow. And if I'm tired, I'm not going to be what I need to be for this important meeting or something tomorrow. And it's not going to go the way I should. And I can see myself being tired. And then if that I'm tired, this isn't going to happen and this is going to happen. What does that help you go to sleep? No, it just winds you up. But you know, you can start thinking like that, or let's say you wake up in the middle of the night, oh no, I mean, now I'm not getting my sleep, and I'm going to come down with something, I'm going to get sick, and the devil will show you pictures of you just sniffing and coughing, and I don't, there's no way now, my body's not going to be, you know, this has been 2 nights now, and I'm not getting my sleep, and so he'll show you, you know, you have company coming into town, coming up, and you're just going to be completely bedfast for that time, and it's going to be a horrible time, and if you give into that, you start getting stressed about it. And you start going, yeah, that's obviously going to happen. You won't say it like that, but you're getting antsy. You're getting stressed. And if you push back and start saying, wait a minute, no, I'm not going to go down that way. In fact, I'm going to get sleep. And if I don't get enough sleep, God will still sustain me the next day. And I'm just believing I'm fine. And push back on it and say, no, that's a lie. I'm not going to believe it and stick with God's word. If you start keeping track, you'll start to see that so many of these thoughts that we had don't actually come to pass. All they are is like these waves. They're trying to put a picture in our heads of stuff that could happen, like what was going through Peter's head. I'm going to sink. I'm going down. But Jesus is right there, but now he's taking his eyes off Jesus and he thinks, I don't know how I'm going to survive. I don't, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly, but he's obviously afraid. But if we'll look back and start realizing, if we'll start pushing back on some of these things and just sticking with what the Word of God says, in spite of the fact that it looks like something, in spite of the fact that we have these things, if we'll start pushing back and say, if we have these thoughts, say, no, I'm still going to be fine. I'll be rested. God's big enough to take care of me. God will still help me through that meeting or that thing. Nope. I'm not going to get sick. No, I'm not going to end up bedfast. I'm going to have a great talk with my family or whatever, or these visitors or whatever. And then you look back and see that these things that you had in your head didn't actually come to pass. Then we'll start to see that the enemy pushes these things and that they are lies and all they are is distractions to try to get us to doubt. And we start getting a track record of not allowing those things to push us off, which strengthens our faith and keeps us on track when we're tempted to doubt. Amen? The devil's a liar. He tries to push us, tries to get us off, tries to get us to doubt. And basically, the Bible calls him a thief. He'll try to steal what God would have for us. His best, what he would have for us, he tries to push us off and steal. Praise God. So just in kind of transition, we just have a couple more minutes, and you know how these things work. We kind of go from, we'll just pick up where we left off the next Wednesday. When I say these things, I mean the Wednesday services, you know. But let's just look. We talked about acting on the Word as you get experience walking with God. And you'll see His Word come to pass, and you develop a confidence in Him. But look real quick on your sheet, on Mark 3. We'll just touch on this, and then we'll close. It says, Mark 4:3 says, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some seeds fell on thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a good crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And so then the disciples ask about this. And so verse 13 then, Mark 4:13, it says, "And he said to them, do you not understand this parable?" They're just like, "What do you mean by this? Hi, we don't understand." And so he said, "Do you not understand this parable? How then we understand all parables? The sower sows the word." So it has this parable. He's saying this parable about the seed falling in different places in different circumstance. Verse 14 says, "The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word was sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." So you can see, Satan is trying to steal the Word from working in our hearts. God's Word, from us being fully confident in what God said. He's always trying to steal that. If he can't, he'll try to do it immediately. He'll take the Word right from you. Get you distracted, get you to be offended, whatever. But if he can't do that, look at the next thing. We're going to just touch on this and then we'll close. Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16, "These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble." And this is a picture of doubt. This is a picture of the word being sown, and people get excited about it, and they're excited about what God said, and excited about what He's going to do for them. Either they see it in the Word of God, or they see what God is going to do for them. You could imagine Abraham saying, "God, you said that I'm gonna have a son. I'm gonna have a child," and being excited, but it didn't happen the next day. It didn't happen the next week. It was years afterwards that he received, and he didn't doubt, and he didn't waver. And what we're talking about is when challenges come, when things come that would discount the word. What do? And right here, it's talking about receiving the word, being glad about it, but you don't have any root, and so only endure for a time. And when tribulation or persecution arises, why? For the word's sake, then they stumble. Then we stumble. And so we're going to get into that a little bit, I believe, next. That part of it, When we stumble, we don't have the word solid in our hearts. We don't believe what we read in Romans 4:16, that we're convinced that what God said, He's able to perform. Because if we were convinced, we'd stay right with it. But when other things push us off of the word, we're not convinced. That word is being stolen from us because we don't have enough root in ourselves. And we'll get up, we'll get pushed off. We end up not being able to receive everything that God has for us. But that's not God's best. God wants us to receive. He wants us to stay on. And if we'll stick with Him, we'll receive everything He wants us to have. Amen.